Welcome to Hip Hop Movie Club, the show that harmonizes the rhythm of hip-hop with the magic of movies. Today, we're discussing The Wood, a nostalgic comedy with a classic hip-hop laced soundtrack. We are three old heads who put their old heads together to vibe on these films for you. I'm Dino Wright, podcaster, filmmaker, longtime hip-hop fan, and I'm glad to say I saw Outkast at least once, in 2002 on the Smokin' Grooves tour.
I'm JB, 80s and 90s nostalgia junkie, longtime hip-hop fan. And I'm a big fan of baseball references in hip-hop songs, like when the Beastie Boys mention Rod Carew or Sadaharu O, or Q-Tip mentions Lou Brock and the Braves and the Yankees. This is my Venn diagram.
I'm Boogie, a DJ, longtime hip-hop fan, and I have a series of old-school hip-hop mixes that are titled the Throwback Series. Check them out sometime.
In this episode, we'll answer the question, is The Wood worth watching? We'll give you five key takeaways to make you a smarter hip-hop movie fan.
The Wood is a coming-of-age romantic comedy which tells the tale of Roland getting cold feet on his wedding day. And we are invited to a front-row seat to Ro, Slim, and Mike's often awkward high school years as they bond in Inglewood, California.
Here are five things you need to know about The Wood. This is low on the end of the range of what we would define as hip-hop movies, but the soundtrack is full of 80s and 90s jams. Number two, for a man of a certain age, it's a familiar ride through the awkwardness of junior high and high school. Number three, strong chemistry among the lead actors who give it a warmth to their origin story. Number four, the flashbacks make the movie and most of the runtime. And number five, as with many films made before the smartphone era, some things would be different about the story today.
Right on. All right, let's get right into it. First takeaway was it's on the low end range of what would be defined by us as hip hop movies. But the soundtrack is full of 80s and 90s jams. So let's dig right into the soundtrack because I loved it, as I do with other films by Rick Famuyiwa. So, who wants to kick us off about the soundtrack and what are the jams you liked and how did they play out within the story?
Yeah, I got a list of them. Yeah. I can run through half of them. I can run through them, but I would start off with the opening credits. You know, back in the day, classic. Yeah, very appropriate for the type of movie that we're about to see because. As we're talking about Ro getting cold feet, a lot of the movie, as mentioned, does take place in flashback scenes as the three gentlemen are growing up and starts off in middle school into high school. So that was a very good one. We got Eric B. is president by Eric B. and Rakim. And that is playing as Mike is basically telling a story about how his family moved from North Carolina to Inglewood and he's kind of transitioning and showing the layout for Inglewood and what we're about to come across as you know, we get familiar with the neighborhood that they're in. Yeah, You Be Illin by Run DMC. And that's playing while Ro and Slim dare Mike to grab Alicia's butt on the first day of school. Not the second, but the first day of school. Yes.
Yeah, that was some hazing, like, hey, you gonna hang with us, a new kid from North Carolina? This is something I dare you to do for like a dollar.
Crazy. They set him up.
Oh, yeah.
We have Make the Music with Your Mouth Biz by the late legendary Biz Markie as Mike is trying to practice his dancing moves before the first school dance. And he realized that before that he didn't know how to dance. We have The Freaks Come Out at Night by Houdini as the trio of them are walking up to the school for the dance. Yeah, there's other ones. I can keep going or I can pass it off.
Yeah, you want to chime in with some, Dino Wright? I know you had identified a few as well.
Oh, no, Boogie covered it. I just think,
yeah.
I just want to mention that you know, it might be debatable whether we think this is a hip-hop movie or not. It does provide some of the soundtrack to the happenings. But I think that's about as the extent of the hip-hop moviness of it.
Yeah, for us, this is kind of like golden age. It's kind of like from infancy up into the golden age, like late 80s, early 90s. Like some of those jams you mentioned are like all-timers. And Peter Piper was played and They Call Me D-Nice. And like those are just beats that are constantly played or sampled in the clubs, and you just nod your head, you know, as you go along. So it's a fun time, and just like I said, just like he does with all the other movies, and especially we just recently watched Dope, which was covered a lot of 90s hip hop. I mean, this is a little bit earlier, and it's awesome. Soundtrack's amazing.
Yeah, you give me a soundtrack with R&B and Rakim, Run DMC, you know, KRS-One, classic D-Nice. Like, see, talk about D-Nice. Like, we remember D-Nice as being able to rap. This generation knows him as a DJ. I mean, he DJed back then, but he DJed and rap. Like, now, it's like a, you know, primarily known him as DJ. But yes, D-Nice actually had skills on a mic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's big time DJ. So the next takeaway two was for men of a certain age, it's a familiar ride to the awkwardness of junior high and high school. So I'll talk a little bit about it and kind of hand it off. Yeah, I mean, you do see the awkwardness around girls that these guys had, you know, the crushes and you know, getting aroused at an inappropriate time and, you know, hiding, you know, in the classroom, things like that, you know, betting who can, you know, lose their virginity and stuff like that. Very reminiscent of, you know, a lot of awkwardness that teenage boys talk about or used to back then. Donna Wright, you want to expand upon some of the, those types of antics?
Yeah. Antics is the right word for it.
Antics.
antics. And, you know, I think all of us can relate to a lot of that awkwardness and trying to present yourself, basically fronting that you know what you're doing. No one really does. And in some cases, treating women badly, unfortunate, but it did happen and it still happens. And, you know, things like touching her butt or like, you know, sending out on a mission to get as many numbers as you can. Like it's treated accurately, I think, in the movie. So it's really relatable in that way.
Yeah. Like we see in a lot of these movies, like it's juvenile stuff and it's inappropriate behavior. And we'd like to think that we've evolved as a society, but it did happen. It still does happen. And, you know, that was part of their coming of age for these guys. Yep.
Yeah, the things they would do for sex.
Yeah.
You could relate to it.
Yeah. I think from the moment Mike saw Alicia, he was almost obsessed with it. It was so funny in the beginning, you know, that the awkward moment, you know, teacher's trying to get him to introduce himself to the class, and he's like, but they made some, I mean, I like how they made light of the awkwardness. Like in that moment, how they played that scene, that whole scene, how they didn't just make it like so, you know, he got picked on. I mean, he got through the moment. But it was kind of humorous, you know. Yeah. Even the whole scene with Ro and Slim daring, you know, Mike to touch Alicia's butt, you know, they made it. They put a little humor to it. You know, they had that I call it the Spanish Matador music, which I actually looked up in the soundtrack, and the song's called the Bullfight Dramatico. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize the name of the song. I hear it all the time, but now I know the name.
Now you know what it's called.
You know, we played the song as he's rounding, you know, he's running around trying to get the right angle to get in there, but it was funny. But, you know, the contest, you know, even that part, you know, they were, you know, joking around trying to, you know, see who can get the most numbers and throughout the party. And there were different scenes going on. They were dancing, and Mike got to show off his dance fever moves. And
dance fever moves. Danny Terry would be proud.
Put the little humor to it, you know. Even like the bet, you know, they made it a little humorous to it in that aspect where, it's like, yeah, it was a serious topic, but, you know, it was, hey, that's what, you know, it's one of those quote unquote boys will be boys type situations. And then even when it gets towards the end and they're like, you know, they're actually at the dance as high schoolers and they're hanging outside and they're like, oh, you know, I think we should do this forever. Like what? You know, macking and hanging. It's like, you know, getting
macking and hanging.
Not being tied down by one woman, but just continuously, you know, running through the ranks and just, you know, but it's like, yeah, of course we know that it didn't really happen because the whole premise of the story is get rolled to the altar, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but I like how they added a little bit of humor to trying to, you know, get to those awkward topics.
Yeah, I think it was done well in that way because, you know, it's not awkward and sad. Like when we went through this as in our own growing up, like none of that stuff was like somber. It was just sort of kind of funny, like, ha ha ha.
Right.
So yeah. I think the accuracy of it is endearing.
Yeah.
And there were repercussions for Mike's indiscretions, you know, touch her butt. You know, she called her brother and said, listen, my brother's going to come. And he did beat him up. And so, like, that harkens back to, like, these schoolyard brawls and stuff and people watching around and rallying around. And his newly found friends, you know, somewhat supported him. They had his back a little bit until they started catching some strays. They started catching some strays. Like, all right, you got this, you know. But, you know, Leisha comes in and is like, all right, stop. But interesting dynamic later on with her brother, Stacy, you know.
Yeah.
With him sticking up the store and the relationship, you know, between all of those guys. Not to give it away. But, yeah. I think it was well done.
Yeah. That whole scene where he was, you know, when he's in class, and he knows what's going to happen after school. So Sherry said her brother was coming. He's watching the clock like, oh God. It reminisces like that, you know, 3 o'clock high.
3 o'clock high.
Down or, you know,
yep.
He's like watching the clock like, oh man. But, yeah, as you hinted, JB, he definitely, and you know, there was a shift in the relationship between him and the older brother, Stacy. You know, he actually ended up, you know, getting Stacy's respect in some aspects. Yeah. But yeah.
Another takeaway was the strong chemistry among the male lead actors, and that gives a warmth to the origin story. So there's a lot of this male bonding that you can really relate to. Yes. Donna Wright, you want to take us through a little bit of that?
Sure. So even, you know, the movies, we'll talk about the flashbacks, but the movie sort of takes place in two time frames. It's the junior high and high school time, and then it's the modern time. And so even with the adult versions of them, the Omar Epps, Richard T. Jones, and Taye Diggs, you know, they have a very good chemistry together. You can feel the warmth that was built through the experiences that they had at junior and in high school, played by Trent Cameron, Sean Nelson, and Dwayne Finley. So in that sense, it moves back and forth between the flashbacks and the modern times. And I had some problems with that, but they really did a good job of casting the young versions of them. And you can really feel the warmth that they had for each other. And it just that continued into their adulthood.
Yeah, it was very believable. Like they played really well off each other. As youngsters and modern day versions as well.
And I'll say, Roger Ebert brings this up, but a lot of films in that time period don't really portray young black men in this kind of way. They're stereotypically like gangbangers or some other, you know, they're doing something else than just being like high school kids. Even Slim, they allude to him being an athlete, but they don't really, you don't really see that in the movie. They gesture at it, but you know, similar to Dope, we reviewed last week. These he shines a light on a marginalized group of a marginalized group, and so like the normal, I guess, kind of black kids that aren't like, I don't know, drug dealers or something like that. They get caught up a little bit in the lifestyle when they get stuck in the convenience store when it's getting, you know, held up. But other than that, it wasn't like the defining, you know, thing in their lives. So that was kind of nice to see a different kind of, it's similar to what we saw in Dope, you know, a different kind of people within this population. So, and they did a really good job of just having that kind of portrayal. So, yeah.
That's a really good point. I didn't really think of it from that perspective. Like, think of all the movies we've covered up until this time that featured younger black men, and the great majority of them involves drugs or violence or like a life of crime. And it is refreshing to see just buddy film, you know, like comedy.
Yeah, it's a buddy, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of film in this one film. Yeah.
So
you still there. Yeah.
Normal coming of age story of some kids growing up.
Yeah.
And we see, and then we see them in their older selves, and we see that they actually made it through successfully and are living a normal life.
Yeah.
Because you think of like the Brat Pack or the Frat Pack and all those guys. It's like these white guys, a lot of these films are buddy-buddy films and the big box office smashes, but you don't really see that much.
Right.
Primarily a black cast. Like, I didn't really see too many white folks. And that was interesting because it was unique, especially for that time frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I mean, and they definitely allude to the lifestyle. You know, one of the first things they asked Mike was because of blood. So, you know, there's Bloods and Crips in the neighborhood. And then we see, you know, Stacy and his crew. We find out that they are Bloods. So we know that there's the element in the neighborhood. You know, stores are getting stuck up. You know, there's still the element of, you know, police seeing young black men in the car and pulling them over and wanting to harass them for whatever reason. I mean, yeah, you see the tail lights out, but there's no reason for them to be pulled out of the car and car searched them.
Right.
Tail light out, give them a ticket and send them home.
Elements are there. It's not like dominating the story that, you know, they live in, you know, Inglewood.
Yeah.
And all that entails.
Now, I guess I'll address, I don't call it elephant in the room, but like I was thinking if that would have been like white cops, it may have been a different story because of all the history, you know? And I'm like, oh man, you know, that was intentional probably that the way they scripted it and everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, definitely intentional.
Well, yeah. I mean, NWA would even allude to it in some of their lyrics. They say, we had white cops in the neighborhoods, but some of the ones that treated us the worst were the black ones.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could have gone either way.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, so chemistry was there. We mentioned that. And then the takeaway number four was the flashbacks. They really make the movie in the most of the runtime. Like, I was shocked at like how much time was spent back in the day, like the song says. But like the kids growing up. Yeah. So Boogie, you want to take us through some of the happenings as they were in middle school and high school?
Yeah, I could take it. So we had, you know, Sean Nelson, Trent Cameron, and Dwayne Finley, as we mentioned, playing the younger versions of Mike, Roe, and Slim, and Inglewood. And, I mean, it starts off in 1986 when Mike's, his younger brother, and his mother moved to Inglewood from North Carolina. And upon going to school, Mike encounters Roe and Slim. And they're like, yo, like I mentioned earlier, are you cuz of blood? And he's like, what? I don't even know what you're talking about. So they're like, yo, maybe you need to hang out with us so we can keep you from getting shot.
Yeah. But
they turn around and, you know, dare him to grab Alicia's butt, which, you know, prompts Alicia to contact her brother Stacy, who comes up, and, you know, we already went through that. But yeah, a few months later, you know, everything seems to calm down, and then, you know, they have this school dance, which was kind of funny because throughout the whole dance, you hear nothing but the old school classics, and it was great to hear those songs. Actually, before they get to the dance, they like, you know, when they want to go get some mints, and then they witness the, you know, burglary taking place at the convenience store, and then they end up getting tagged along into that, because of, you know, Stacy and his crew were the perpetrators, and they were scared at the same time, but, you know, they kind of went along because what were they going to do? But like I said, you know, Mike gets Stacy's respect, and you know, Stacy kind of helps him out with, you know, trying to talk to his sister. We don't get too much into it there, but then it goes to, you know, talk about high school, and you know they're a little older. You know, Mike and Alicia are no longer together, whatever. So there's the bet on who can lose their virginity first. And it shows like a montage of the guys just trying to convince random girls or the girlfriends, you know, how to move on to the next step. And the girls are basically like, no, they're not buying it. Which is kind of funny because they're trying to have a little bet jar going on for every time they get rejected. And then they have to add money to it. So you just see them keep adding money to the jar. Which is showing them, y'all think y'all macking, but y'all not.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool. Like I said, you know, just seeing some of the funny antics that these guys try to go through, just trying to make it in that neighborhood. But yeah, it was entertaining, funny.
Yeah, you covered it. A lot of antics and hijinks, as we said.
Yeah.
So Dynarite, you wanted to talk maybe about some of the fashion from the 90s that was on display?
Yes. It was great to see that again. Even though you might think it's questionable now, but some of those lapels you could really like land a pontoon boat on. Really wonderful. It's great.
With the loud colors they're wearing, and was it Rose younger version with the Jerry curls?
Yes. Yes.
Like, there was some of the Jerry curls.
There's definitely some activator going on in there.
Ridiculous, like built Jerry curls back then. Yeah, reminiscent of Soul Glow.
I know. Yeah. Soul Glow was what's cooking.
Yeah, yeah.
It was funny. Oh, part didn't when the
rub, yeah, the greasy the grab.
Yeah.
It was greasy. Like wiping it off. Like, oh man.
I mean, when was the last time you saw a guest jacket?
Yeah, the guest jacket. I remember I wanted that jacket so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the guest shirt underneath it. You know.
Yeah. And the very boxy shoulder pad.
Oh, the suits. Yeah.
Jazz suits. New Jack suits.
Yep.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. Mike had a members only jacket on the first day of school.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely from...
It's funny because I have a members only jacket right now, the same color. I saw it. I said, "Oh my god, throwback!"
That's so fun.
Everything retro comes back at some point, so hold on to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's cool. Yeah, it's cool to see those throwback fashions. Yeah, and takeaway five is, as with many films made before the smartphone era, some things would be different about the story today. What do you think would be a bit different there, Dynarite?
Well, the first thing is that the three of them disappear for like 2 or 3 hours on the wedding day, and like it wouldn't happen now. There'd be like mad texts flying and stuff. So,
yeah.
Or find my iPhone, and they would just like track them down. So,
that's true.
You know, that contrivance doesn't happen now. So it's like, okay, they just allowed to disappear.
Yeah, like even the bridesmaids would probably be like on a rampage trying to get him to
ATVs out of him.
Yeah. Yeah, right. They would have got him.
Yeah. And the plot is I'm not even sure what the point of the movie was. I think the point of the movie was the power of friendship and the power of male bonding, but the rest of it was like, why should I be convinced that Rolando actually likes Lisa? That sort of tacked on at the end. Like, why are we trying to drag him to the church?
We don't really know much about their relationship at all.
No,
he's
got cold feet. Like, what? So why?
Yeah, and he kept going back to his ex, Tanya, you know, for guidance or for safety, you know, like when he got into a jam.
Yeah.
And he even alluded that you know, you guys need to get out of here because it's looking kind of good, and I might, you know, get a last minute one in.
Yeah. The driving force of this movie was to get him to the wedding, but they didn't really talk about the marriage. Like, oh,
yeah.
Is this a good idea?
They kind of glossed around it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sort of hint at it. So that part didn't really work for me in this movie. Like, and the flashbacks, I mean, the young versions of them were really good, but, you know, you think of a movie with these actors, like, you don't get to see them that much.
Yeah.
Right. Taye Diggs and Omar Epps, and they sort of get, like, second billing. What more can I say? Top billing.
So the one, I guess, surprise element or a subplot was, you know, Mike being able to get back together with Alicia, you know, at the end, because that was the big crush. And if you think about it or you listen closely, they had the opportunity to kind of stay together because one of them went to Columbia, one of them got into NYU or vice versa, but like one of them decided not to go, right? Mm-hmm. So they had an opportunity and they didn't. And then it turns out that she comes back for the wedding to see the old friends and Mike's kind of surprised to see her and they get to talking and it looks like they, you know, reconcile.
They actually right the wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually go to New York this time instead of not going last time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was one thing about that. Like the movie takes all this time to talk about their relationship, but that wasn't even like the point of the plot. I thought, oh, we're not here about Mike and Alicia. We're here to talk about Rolando and Lisa. We don't even see Lisa for like an hour and a half.
Like, yeah. I'm like, what does she look like? Like, I'm like looking like when they keep showing the getting ready, the bridesmaids, like, I don't even, where's the bride? Where's the bride?
It's like Niles' wife on Frasier. It's Maris. It's Maris Crane or whatever from Frasier. Like you never see her. It's like stuff. Never see her.
I like the neighbor in Home Improvement, Wilson over the fence. Yeah, I never see the person.
Wilson. The Wilson of the wood.
Yeah, so there's some weird elements like that. I actually struggled to write some of the notes. I mean, yeah, we document like kind of what happens. It was fun. Like I was laughing at the camaraderie and the stuff, but the whole kind of plot thing was kind of like little bit odd. But the soundtrack was insane. So like, I loved it. Yeah, it's a fun time overall.
Yeah, there's certainly some good like laugh lines.
Yeah.
Well, I fell for him. I fell for Slim getting his Ferragamos puked on. I mean, those are $1,000 shoes now. I mean,
yeah.
I felt that.
Yeah,
someone threw up on my Park Avenue Lyle Nedmans, I'd be upset.
Yeah. there was one part in the movie that had me cracking up a little bit. Is when after they left the convenience store with Stacy and his guy Boo, and they sit in the back seat, and there's this dialogue going on between Stacy and Boo's character, and Boo, Stacy's like, you know, I think I might want to become a rapper.
Yes, that was funny.
Yeah. About, you know, just smoking weed. And Boo looks over to him and says, ain't nobody about to buy no album about smoking weed. And we just Stacy's like, I would. And I looked at him like, we had an album called The Chronic.
Yeah, yeah. And that was an intentional joke, like an inside joke because of The Chronic, because of Cypress Hill, like, you know, because I got high. Like, seriously, like, how many people, how many rappers, Wiz Khalifa, Snoop Dogg, like, seriously, like, how many songs and artists have made lucrative careers around rapping about weed? Seriously, like that was kind of a joke.
Yeah, because
he was ahead of his time.
I mean, that was like it was so close. It was like 1992. You're gonna hear about it.
Yeah,
right. Might try pick up the mic in about 6 years. You know, you might be onto something.
Yeah,
like two miles away, Dre is like about to drop this album. It's gonna change and blow your mind.
Seriously.
Yeah.
As we speak, Dre's in the lab.
So this movie's from 99, I think, if I recall.
Yeah,
right? So
99.
And then, so I think like Rick Famuyiwa, like, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing his name, it's tricky, but I think he's evolved as a director. Like, I think the writing got better and better. Like, Dope, like,
oh, sure.
The dialogue,
oh, yeah.
I think, was much yep. better.
Yeah.
Like, that funny line about the weed and rapping, and then, like, other funny dialogue is, like, the one guy was, like, a savant about breath mints, and that was kind of funny here and there. And the other was just, like, little jokes inside jokes. But, I like, as he evolved, like, I think he matured with his...
Oh, sure.
Directing. Or, I mean, I don't know definitely. If he wrote, you know, the writing in his movies got, I guess, better too over time. Yeah.
I think he did write this one.
Did he write it also? Yeah. Okay.
He wrote the screenplay. Possibly. So, I mean, this is his story. So, yeah. He definitely improved. You know, the wood walks so Dope could fly, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And remember, he's the guy behind Brown Sugar also, which is a really good film.
Just
as well.
In 3 years, you know that, I think some of the things he learned from making The Wood mm-hmm. made it way into Brown Sugar, and you know we would really enjoy that movie too.
Yeah, the one I definitely mentioned this with Dope. Like the one thing that I still find humorous, and it's just a small thing, but it's so funny because we get to see young Stacy in The Wood, and we see older mature security guard Stacy in Dope.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's good. It's like a little universe.
Ask your father about me.
It's like a family cinematic universe.
Yeah,
FCU.
Now it's kind of cool. And people can use these guys. Yeah.
See if he's looking Brown Sugar and see if he's just a security guard in the background.
he got to New York and Mike didn't.
Yeah. That's fine. But
speaking of Brown Sugar, we got another Sanaa Lathan song in.
Yeah.
Ding 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 ding. This really is a Sanaa Lathan stan podcast anymore.
You think she's the name that gets mentioned most? And it? She,
how I many think mentions? If we did the analysis, just, her name gets mentioned the most.
Yeah.
I mean, although you know, we got Lisa Ray in here now, so that's she got some comp.
Well,
yeah,
Sanaa Lathan, we got to get her on the podcast.
Yes,
somebody knows her, get her on the podcast.
Yeah, if anybody knows her, reach out to us, hiphopmovieclub@gmail.com. Yeah. Hook us up.
That's right.
We got nothing but love for her. Bring that funky flick back.
Bring that funky flick back.
Or leave it in the vault. All right, fellas, let's go around the room and give our ratings for The Wood. Boogie, for this movie, The Wood, bring that funky flick back or leave it in the vault.
Yeah, I've seen this quite a few times already, so I'm going to bring the funky flick back. It makes me laugh.
Yeah. Dino Wright, what is your rating? Bring that funky flick back or leave it in the vault?
Despite the gripes I have, bring this funky flick back.
Yes, and that makes three of us. The soundtrack, the camaraderie, it is a fun, fun movie. And so bring that funky flick back for me as well.
Okay. Come for the music, stay for the gratuitous male nudity.
Forgot about that.
I was like, oh, you don't really see that in movies these days. Whoa. Okay. All right then.
Yeah, seriously. Any of our listeners are into those guys,
And who isn't? I mean,
surprise. Yeah, surprise, surprise.
The moon is out over Inglewood. The moon. You can see the moon during the day.
Oh, man.
Hip Hop Movie Club is produced by your HHMCs, JB, Boogie, and Dino Wright. Theme music by Boogie. Whether you're listening to the podcast or watching us on YouTube, please give us a follow. It's a real power-up for us. Thanks for tuning in.
And remember, don't hate, demonstrate. Go us.
Come on.